It's finally here, the GOP convention. Media critics, undoubtedly twisted by their far-left fantasies, predicted total chaos. Instead, we had a controlled yet lively presentation, punctuated by some honorable yet misguided zealotry of the never-Trump boneheads. In fact, led by Senator Mike Lee on their quixotic mission, one member, Mr. Cuccinelli from Virginia, the former state's attorney general, threw his delegate badge down and stormed out. Very theatrical, but didn't achieve much. But all in all, it was an impressive display. The anti-Trump infants have made their anti-party, supposedly principled decision to avoid the convention. Such butt-hurt babies include Marco Rubio, the shockingly naive and not ready for prime time Jeb Bush, and even Ohio's own governor, John Kasich, all avoided the convention. What fools! When the prodigal son comes home to embrace the Klan, there is supposed to be partying, celebrations, and forgiveness, not the bitter blatherings of spilt milk wannabes. Many memorable speeches, but perhaps none topping Melania Trump for the curiosity factor, peering out of feline eyes and with a world-class smile befitting a former supermodel. Melania made a strong speech almost without flaw, which was impressive given that she's not originally an English speaker. In terms of barn-burning, stem-winding calls for unity and destruction of the present corrupt administration and order, Mayor Giuliani delivered a resounding message. Overall, the GOP is looking stronger each day. The best is yet to come. Stay tuned for the highlights. Sports fans, here was Donald's opening when he came out. Donald comes out to We Are the Champions. So there were a lot of great moments in this. And I'm looking at the time, seeing if we have time to do Melania's speech. I don't know if you would find the whole, if you'd want to listen to the whole speech. But let me play some of it for you because I thought it was a good speech. Not a great speech, but I mean, you know, Trump has married this, you know, supermodel. She's from a foreign country. People who have heard her speak understand that she's got a strong accent. I don't think people were expecting much, and I believe that she beat the expectations. And I thought it was interesting, and I thought she came across as a smart person, as a thoughtful person, and definitely in her husband's corner. Here is Melania Trump's. This is about 13 minutes total. So I'll at least play part of it for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You have all been very kind to Donald and me, to our young son Baron, and to our whole family. It's a very nice welcome, and we are excited to be with you at this historic convention. I'm so proud of your choice for President of the United States, my husband, Donald J. Trump. And I can assure you, he's moved by this great honor. The 2016 Republican primaries were fierce and started with many candidates, 17 to be exact. And I know that Donald agrees with me when I mention how talented all of them are. They deserve the respect and gratitude from all of us. However, when it comes to my husband, I will say that I'm definitely biased, and for a good reason. I have been with Donald for 18 years, and I have been aware of his love for this country since we first met. He never had a hidden agenda when it comes to his patriotism, because, like me, he loves this country very much. I was born in Slovenia, a small, beautiful, and then communist country in Central Europe. My sister Ines, who is an incredible woman and a friend, and I were raised by my wonderful parents. My elegant and hardworking mother, Amalia, introduced me to fashion and beauty. My father, Victor, installed in me a passion for business and travel. Their integrity, compassion, and intelligence reflects to this day on me and for my love of family and America. From a young age, my parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise, that you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow. Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them. I'm fortunate for my heritage, but also for where it brought me today. I traveled the world while working hard in the incredible arena of fashion. After living and working in Milan and Paris, I arrived in New York City 20 years ago, and I saw both the joys and hardships of daily life. On July 28, 2006, I was very proud to become citizens of the United States. The greatest privilege on planet Earth. I cannot or will not take the freedoms this country offers for granted, but these freedoms have come with a price so many times. The sacrifices made by our veterans are reminders to us of this. I would like to take a moment to recognize an amazing veteran, the great Senator Bob Dole. And let us thank all of our veterans in the arena today and those across our great country. We are all truly blessed to be here. That will never change. I can tell you with certainty that my husband has been concerned about our country for as long as I have known him. With all of my heart, I know that he will make a great and lasting difference. Donald has a great and deep and unbounded determination and a never give up attitude.
All right, so that's probably enough. You get a feel for the speech. She delivered it well. I didn't see her. She didn't look down at all, so she didn't have any notes with her. Now, if there was a teleprompter there, I didn't see it, but she didn't appear to be reading any of it. So it's impressive to me that somebody would memorize a speech and be able to give it a 13-minute speech on her feet without really making any major mistakes. There was a few mistakes that you would expect from someone who spoke another language in terms of, conjugation of verbs or whatever, but she pulled it off, and I thought it was well done. All right, let's take a break here. I'll come back and play for you a little bit of Giuliani's speech, which I thought was an excellent speech. 617 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces AM 1450 523-1450 to call in at 805-6180. You know, I think I'll get into a little bit of the never Trump to give you a sense of what happened there, which was just looked idiotic, and the movement died in committee, and then they tried to bring it back on the floor. And it was just, I don't know, the time for that is over. So the GOP needs to, it is unfortunate that a number of people who ran with Trump and said that they would support him got their feelings hurt and ended up not going to the convention, but it makes them look bad. It doesn't make them look patriotic, in my opinion, especially John Kasich, it's his city that this thing is happening in, and he's not going to show up. That looks absurd. And Jeb Bush looks like a spoiled brat who didn't get his way, you know. At least Marco Rubio has an excuse that he's running for Senate, but it's really a very poor excuse, because that would give him a lot more national, exposure, which is going to come into Florida. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom. I'm disappointed in our governor not supporting him.
Well, what's her current position?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything good from her.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the problem, in my opinion, that the peril with coming out and saying this person is not good enough, even though they won fair and square, he won the nomination. The peril with that is saying that this person is not conservative enough for me, which is a lot of this stuff that's coming out. And none of these people that are getting up and saying this are actual dyed-in-the-wool conservatives.
Mm-hmm. I think she's offended for the Mexicans or something like that.
Well, I mean, if you go back and listen, like a lot of the stuff that's been attributed to this guy, and I'm not saying he's perfect, but he never went after Mexicans per se. He went after he was talking about when the women go from Central America or wherever they're coming from to the border, they end up getting raped. And there was just an article a couple of weeks ago that I meant to mention, that there's a tremendous problem in the Mexican military and the police force with rape. And I'm like, this is exactly what this guy was saying. So, and then he criticized the judge. I think he could have spoken more precisely, but I mean, I don't know. I don't agree with the governor on this.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thanks, Kel.
Thanks. Have a good day. All right. Let's take a break here. We're listening to Sonny Rollins, his great album, Saxophone Colossus. You Don't Know What Love is this tune. 620 AM Las Cruces, 523-1450, and 805-6180 for the text machine, which I have in hand. We'll be right back. All right, so I thought the set that was put up behind the podium was great. It was like three stories high, and it was red, but it didn't really distract. I thought it was very well built, there was a real sense of energy. The crowd was full of diverse people. Of course, there's white people in there, but there was a number of blacks and Hispanics, and and old and young, and I thought it was pretty good. The sweep of the crowds looked pretty good. Now, you've got the anti-Trump people, and at this point, the anti-Trump groups just seem silly to me, but there's this point when the person at the podium calls somebody else to come up. That person comes out for a second. It was like a gag, actually. The person comes out, stands there for a second, then turns around and leaves. Then there's nobody at the podium, and these people at on the floor are demanding that their resistance to Trump be noted and acknowledged and given legal standing, and it wasn't. And finally, Ken Cuccinelli, who was the Attorney General at Virginia, and a delegate threw his party credentials on the floor and stormed out of the convention, which I thought looked absolutely hilarious. But here we go.
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on adoption of the resolution. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no.
They're voting on whether to adopt the anti-Trump position.
Opinion of the chair, the ayes have it, and the resolution is agreed to. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
So there was an attempt in the committee before the convention started to formally adopt and embrace the Never Trump people. That was blocked in committee. They brought it out to the floor to try to have it heard again, and that was also blocked.
The chair now recognizes the delegate from the state of West Virginia for the purpose of offering a resolution.
It's not just a bad, I mean, you can't hear anything. I can't hear what she's saying, but there's a lot of yelling from the floor as these two groups go back and forth against one another. So I won't torture you with that anymore. But anyway, it almost looked like the microphones had been cut to some of the people, but I don't know if that's true. All right, here is a statement from an anti-Trump delegate, Kendall Unruh. The system is rigged in order to make sure Donald Trump gets the nomination. Isn't that usually how these things are set up? Once the person gets the vote, it's not really rigged. The person has the votes already. Here we go.
A media scrum with Kendall Unruh, who was leading this delegation, and we're going to jump into this conversation with her. Thank you very much for being with us on C-SPAN. So can you explain to our audience what just happened?
Well, they quashed the voice of the people. I mean, you guys all saw that obviously the delegates wanted a roll call vote, which is a fair part of the process. Take the roll call vote. And so we submitted the petitions. We have a right to see which petitions were not filled. We have a right to know who withdrew. And that's part of the process under the House rules that we have a right to know, and he should have addressed who withdrew. So once again, the system's rigged in order to make sure that Donald Trump gets this nomination. Donald Trump needs to earn our support. He needs to earn our votes because he cannot coerce votes out of people in a general election. That's
now,
what he's doing.
Explain what happened with the 9 states and then 3 states didn't qualify. What was that all about?
Well, we circulated petitions. The rules require that you get the majority of delegates in 7 states. So we actually submitted 10 because just to make sure that we had enough names submitted. So what they're saying is that they had the 3 states withdraw, and they're saying that they didn't have enough signatures from the states in order to qualify. So we need to now procedurally go and have them prove that. Because quite honestly, with the history of the Republican Party and the way that they treat the grassroots, consider me suspect. And they were whipping pretty hard. I mean, Reince and stuff I heard was pulling the delegates out and having them take their name off the list. This is America, and people should have the sanctity of their vote not threatened, intimidated, and coerced out of them. And when they have made a decision on a vote, they should be allowed to relax and rest assured that that vote is not going to be altered with, or is that going to be threatened to be changed? And what you had here was you added a lot of strong arm tactics, which, by the way, we've run up against this entire past 6 weeks, is our delegates being strong-armed and threatened, and even threatened with the recourse of law in order to have to vote for Donald Trump. And fortunately, the recent federal case that was decided in Virginia took away that hammer that they were using, that they would actually be arrested if they would not vote for Donald Trump. So you have a presidential candidate who is wanting the nomination that is using threats of arrest, that is using strong-arm tactics, that is using coercion and mandates in order to get a vote of confidence from the delegates on this floor. Why doesn't he work to earn it? And then that creates unity within the party.
And we were in.
What a bunch of babies. What did they think was going to happen? That the whole thing is going to grind to a halt. Trump is going to be thrown off the ticket, and then some mystery person like Ted Cruz is going to show up and save the day. All right. So we'll take another break here. 6:30 a.m. Las Cruces, 523-1450. 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. If you're still anti-Trump, please feel free to call in and whine into the telephone. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. All right, I don't know if you saw the convention at all. I don't know if you saw the convention at all, but I will say that it had a good feel to it. I mean, they may not have had all the celebrities you'd want to be there. I thought when Melania Trump introduced Bob Dole, I thought that was amazing. I thought it was a great moment. And Bob Dole, who could barely stand up, you know, he's well on in years, and he's got the military injuries, the war injuries. He looked like he had tears in his eyes. So, all right. So is a little response to the anti-Trump people, 635, and it's 72 degrees outside, but here's a little bit of Hannity. Honestly, they put the pledge together to make sure that if Trump didn't win, that he wouldn't destroy the party by going third party. Instead, he won fair and square, and now all of these other people that signed the pledge, when they were saying that Donald Trump was the dishonorable person, that he didn't keep his word, that he didn't stand for anything, and they were the real conservatives, how are you a real conservative? Think about this for an absurdity. How are you a real conservative by claiming that by signing a pledge saying that no matter what, you'll support the winner of the delegate process, and then you refuse to do it because the person's not pure enough, even though you signed it and gave your word, but you claim to be a conservative, and it isn't being a conservative about keeping your word? My head is swimming, you know? Here's a little bit from analysis of these crybabies.
Bring us inside. You were focus grouping this night. Come on. And I've been to a lot of conventions. You've been to a lot of conventions. Herman, you own the convention. I mean, when you get up there and speak, it's like 9, 9, 9.
I'll give you one. This media narrative that the party is disunified. Oh, my God, look at the people breaking out on the floor. This was an incredibly unified hall because they are on the side of most Americans, Sean, where they're talking about peace and prosperity. They don't feel secure. The other thing I would say is we have no equivalent in the Republican Party or at this convention to Bernie Sanders, to Hillary Clinton.
That's a great point.
Where is the candidate that won 22 states and millions of voters and dropped out just last week and is going to have trouble in
Philly? You know, Herman, I think it's time to speak out. I am tired of people. It's everything that is wrong with politicians. You know, the crybaby, sore loser faction. You know, all these guys, oh, will you support the eventual winner? Yes. Jeb Bush, no. Lindsey Graham, John Kasich, no. You know what? Why did you lie to us? And, you know, why being a sore loser? Why being a crybaby? The crybaby caucus now that exists out there. You know, I'm really sick and tired because I look at Trump's agenda. He wants to balance the budget. He wants to eliminate Obamacare. He wants to build a wall. I wanted to build it forever. I think that's a great idea.
Right.
Fix the VA, healthcare savings accounts, energy independence. I like his list of justices. Just on that issue alone, we win.
And replace the tax code.
So talk about the crybaby caucus.
The crybaby,
I'm sick of that.
The crybaby caucus.
By the way, Paul Ryan's in it.
Sick of him.
Let's name some names. Yep. Paul Ryan is in it.
He continues to bash Trump. You got Paul Ryan.
Is Ted Cruz going to ever support?
Find out tomorrow night. Lindsey Graham, reluctantly. You know, all I want.
Ted Cruz, he did well. If he would have won.
Yeah,
he would want everyone to support him.
Yeah,
he would demand it.
They all
honor the pledge.
Stood up and said they will support the ultimate nominee. Their credibility and hypocrisy came through. Here's the only thing I want the anti-Trump, never Trump, crybaby Trump folk to do. Shut up, okay? Just
you know what?
Quiet. That's
they're
all.
Not having
just be
any
quiet.
Impact. We saw that in the Rules Committee. We saw that.
They had their chance
today.
Three times.
They had their
in
chance
the last
three
week,
times.
Sir. Right
okay.
on that floor, Sean. They've
yeah.
had their chance.
So they just,
the other thing is, we're talking about individuals. Will they support Trump? One thing. What about the voters in their states where he won overwhelmingly? You don't respect the voters of your own state.
More votes than any other nominee.
By the way, more votes than some of these people get in their own statewide elections is my point. He got more votes than some of these senators and governors get. You want to criticize Donald Trump? That's your right. I think it's ridiculous and silly and peevish. However, at least respect the voters.
You supported other candidates before this?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
And you know what? I've had to suck it up. Excuse me, with all due respect. Bob Dole was sucking it up. John McCain was sucking it up.
Mitt Romney.
Why are you laughing at me like, why are you laughing?
You were a part.
I was sucking it up.
All right, so that's, you know, I agree with that. It's absolutely ridiculous to claim that you're a conservative and you don't have to keep your word. But by the way, you know, you've got this, you know, thing going on where you're going to person gets elected that or gets nominated that you don't like. You're not only not going to back them, but you're not even going to show up to the party. None of these people have helped themselves. The way you help yourselves is to do what Cruz is doing, which I'm sure he's only doing it because he wants to run next time if Trump loses. But you have to show you're a team player. And, I mean, this idea that all of these people, was Rubio a conservative in the Senate? No. He was the first person to jump on amnesty. He's the guy that, like, organized amnesty. Is John Kasich a conservative? No, he's center. He's, you know, center conservative. He's halfway between conservative and liberal. You know, is Jeb Bush a conservative? Not, you know, I mean, none of these people are Ronald Reagan, so I don't know where they're coming from. Anyway, we'll take a little break here, and I got some weather for you, and a little bit of hurricane news, and then some local weather for you. Kelly O'Connell, 641 on the button, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450 to call in, and 805-61-802. Text. We're talking about the convention that just started last night, and it was pretty good. It had some pretty good spots on it. And this, by the way, this is from the Weather Channel, and this is about Eastern Pacific Tropics Outlook, and it looks like a couple of possible hurricanes here.
We have a lot going on in the eastern Pacific right now. A hurricane, a tropical storm, and two things brewing out to the east. So it is certainly getting active. Now, Hawaii could be in the crosshairs of some of these storms. We'll start with Hurricane Darby. Now, we have seen high surf in Hawaii over the past couple of weeks from earlier storms. Hurricane Darby right now is forecasted to go north of the island, but rip currents could once again be a problem. So this is something we'll have to watch closely. Now, up next, right behind it, is Tropical Storm Estelle. Right now, the track is showing it curving to the north. So it looks like this one will stay away from Hawaii, which will certainly be good news.
All right, so I've got a little bit more on these babies, these no Trump babies, never Trump. You know, if they were really conservative, it might make for an interesting argument or debate, but what they're doing is hopping on this national this national movement to delegitimize Trump because he didn't come out of the system. I mean, that's what it amounts to. You can say he's not the right person on A, B, or C, but, you know, a lot of these people that run for office, they never support the what their platform is anyway, you know? So I don't see why they're suddenly getting all purist on us. Here's a little bit from Kasich on Trump. It's his own state. He's not at his own convention. It's absurd.
Governor Kasich, he's laughing off the suggestion that he is embarrassing his state by skipping the convention. In an exclusive interview with NBC News, he defended his decision and he questioned whether Trump's message will go over well with Ohio voters.
I want to thank you all for coming in. You know, this is unprecedented.
This afternoon, just blocks from the Q Arena, Governor John Kasich thanking out-of-state police who are part of the convention security operation. But this, the governor told me, is about as close as he plans to get to the convention itself. His mind made up.
If Donald Trump called you right now and said, bygones be bygones, come over and speak this.
Well, no, he'd have to change everything that he says. We can't be attacking Muslims and Hispanics and trying to shut down trade and not caring about the debt. Those are all problems for me. And so it's not, I don't hold any personal animus towards Donald Trump.
So John Kasich isn't mad at the stuff that Trump said to him during the election. And he's not riffing off of, if he was the only person not showing up, would he be saying the same thing? No, he's trying to destroy the candidate. These people, supposedly in the name of party purity, which the GOP hasn't had for like a millennia, are fighting against the candidate. What do they think is going to happen? It's going to put Hillary in office for a third term, and Hillary's going to be the third term of Obama, and that's not going to be on them. And Hillary is better than Trump.
Just are two companies that have different values, different directions, and different philosophies.
Kasich is the only, yeah, and you know what? He's making a big mistake.
Paul Manafort, campaign chairman for Donald Trump, said today that you are embarrassing your state by your failure to participate in the convention. Does that offend you?
I heard.
Okay, so here is Trump's response to Kasich not going to the convention in his own state, which I think all of these guys that didn't honor the pledge that they wanted Trump to sign for their benefit, all of them are going to find it impossible to really run for president in the future because they all look like liars.
Convention. The Ohio Governor John Kasich should be at the convention, is not. Have you spoken with him? How do you feel about that?
Look, I beat him very badly. I won 38 states. I won the highest number of votes in the history of the Republican Party. Second was very, very far away. I beat him very, very soundly. And you have to understand, this was a contentious, some people say the most contentious primary they've ever seen either party. If I were him and got beaten that badly, I probably wouldn't show up either. He has a problem, though. He signed a pledge. And from a standpoint of honor, I think he should show up. I also think this. If this were the Democratic convention, I think he should show up because it's good for Ohio. I wanted it to be here, and we had lots of choices. I wanted it to be in Ohio. I recommended Ohio, and people fought very hard that it be in Ohio. It's a tremendous economic development event, and you look at the way it's going so far, it's very impressive. I wanted it to be here. The Republicans wanted it to be here. But honestly, even if this were for the Democrats, he should at least show up and say hello and say, how are you doing? He got beaten very, very badly. He could have, you know, left. He should have left probably many weeks earlier than he did, but he just hung around.
Do you think he's being a sore loser?
Well, I don't want to say that, but you know what? It was a very contentious primary. He lost very, very badly. And maybe if I were in his position, I wouldn't show up either.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. So let's take a break here. And I'm going to come back and tell you about something that I mentioned yesterday that I thought was astounding. That the president again got up and said that the police, if they would only admit their wrongdoing, would it would be safer for them. What exactly is this guy trying to do? I mean, I thought about this all day yesterday. Couldn't believe that he said it. When he's, you know, this guy never pays any price for any of the mistakes that he makes because the media protects him so much. But, you know, it's getting to the point. It's surreal. He knows that people for years have been blaming him for some of the anti-cop feelings in the country, and yet he doubles down again because he thinks he's above it. And he thinks what if he says something, it's not an opinion, it's a fact. It's a very scary worldview, a point of view. It has harmed America, and he's harming America again and again every time he says stuff like this. He doesn't care. He apparently wants to make things worse. There's no excuse for getting up and blaming the police when there is active violence, shooting and killing cops on a weekly basis. We'll be right back. 650 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and 805-6180. There's a couple of things I want to pass on to you that are going to upset you. The first of which is that, well, there's three things here. The first one is just obvious. The German train where the guy came out with an axe and started chopping people and he hit 18 individuals was a teenage refugee who was shouting Allahu Akbar as he hacked away at passengers. So what percentage of Muslims think that they can just go up and even outside any part of the justice system attack who they consider to be unreligious or unpious or whatever? I'm just curious. I mean, and how many of these people are here? Here's a second thing that came up that yesterday that's not even really in the news cycle right now because you've got the convention here. We were lied to by this administration about the deal with Iran, and the deal with Iran is going to get them bombs. They can get their stuff in half the time. So the administration lied again. Here's a clip on that.
Not know where billions of dollars are being spent by the known terrorism sponsor. So far, Iran received $3 billion from the historic deal, which became effective after they met certain requirements, such as shipping thousands of pounds of enriched uranium out of the country, removing 2/3 of its centrifuges, and providing unprecedented access to its nuclear facilities and supply chain. But the White House cannot confirm that this money was not spent on terrorism, and Iran is expected to be given access to another $50 billion, which has Montana congressmen concerned.
There is no doubt that Iran is going to continue to spend billions of dollars on terrorism. They're going to continue to spend, as they have said they will, continue to support Hezbollah, Hamas, in the goal of destroying Israel and wiping the Jewish people off the face of the globe.
According to CNN, Secretary of State John Kerry says he believes that Iran will spend their money on terrorism, and Zinke urges other lawmakers to make a change.
Iran hasn't changed the way they operate, and we should make sure that America, you know, articulates that.
To read more about this issue and where...
So why did we make a deal with these guys? All we did is put billions of dollars into international terrorism. And now it turns out the deal that we did made, which has been called the worst deal in the history of America, is cut in half. All of the time frame that it was supposed to happen in is cut in half. These guys are going to have a nuclear weapon so fast. And then they're, you know, the emotion is going to be to blow up Israel because that's where they're coming from. All right, here's where Obama blames the cops. One more time. I just couldn't believe this. In the midst of cops getting cut down right and left.
Maintain a respectful, thoughtful tone. Because as a practical matter, that's what's going to get change done. I would hope that police organizations are also respectful of the frustrations that people in these communities feel. And not just dismiss these protests and these complaints as political correctness or as politics or attacks on police. There are legitimate issues that have been raised. And there's data and evidence to back up the concerns that are being expressed by these protesters. And if police organizations and departments acknowledge that there's a problem and there's an issue, then that too is going to contribute to real solutions. And as I said yesterday, that is what's going to ultimately help make the job of being a cop a lot safer. It is in the interest of police officers that their communities trust them, and that the kind of rancor and suspicion that exists right now is alleviated.
Divide and conquer, community organizer. Get in there with your doctrine of moral equivalency and say, if I accidentally trip over your foot and you pull out a gun and shoot me for it, that we've both done wrong and we both need to be, you know, we both need to find out that we're wrongdoers, and that what do you expect? So, you know, this sense of moral equivalency that the president carries with him is a type of moral sickness. And he is out of his mind, and he's just ginning up more attacks on the police. We'll take a break here. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back after the break on the hour to reboot for the convention. Some more highlights. All right, so here's a little recap of the convention that started last night.
One of the Republican National Convention did not bring the perfect picture of unity the party had hoped. Instead, a loud delegate revolt set the tone here in Cleveland today, even as it was quashed. A band of conservative delegates sought to reject the convention rules package, including the rule that binds delegates to their primary results, gathering the support needed for a full roll call vote on the floor. This display would have been an embarrassment, no doubt, for the Republican Party and for its nominee, but the party teamed up with Trump's campaign to quell the rebellion before it hit the floor persuading four delegations to withdraw their support. So what's the result of this? The party might have avoided an embarrassing display here today, but it's possible the Never Trump advocates could continue their protest into Tuesday. The turmoil also underscored just how far the Republican Party has to go before it is truly united around its nominee, although some Republicans do still hope the party makes strides in that direction this week. At the same time, Republicans and voters were given a look at the image that Trump and his campaign want to project with speeches tonight from Rudy Giuliani and Melania Trump and others. The theme tonight focused on security at home and abroad and was marked by Trump's first cameo at this convention, a dramatic entrance to introduce his wife, Melania. The program continues tomorrow with more speeches from Trump's family and from Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who Trump passed over as his running mate. But for tonight, I'm Rebecca Berg for Real Clear Politics.
All right, so that is that beginning. And there was, I didn't really think it was that embarrassing. I mean, everybody knows that this movement is out there and that they're lacking in, at this point, they're not just lacking in support, they're lacking in credibility. So I have got for you the speech of Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, which I thought was very well done. Check this out.
Trump will make America great again. Thank you. God bless.
Please welcome the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you, New York. For a New Yorker for once on the ticket, Donald Trump. I'm here to speak to you about a very serious subject, how to make America safe. The vast majority of Americans today do not feel safe. They fear for their children. They fear for themselves. They fear for our police officers who are being targeted with a target on their back. We pray for our police officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge and their families. And we say thank you to the Cleveland Police Department for protecting us. Thank you. We know the risk you're taking. And we say thank you to every police officer and law enforcement agent who's out tonight protecting us, black, white, Latino, of every race, every color, every creed, every sexual orientation. When they come to save your life, they don't ask if you are black or white. They just come to save you. We also reach out. We reach out our arms with understanding and compassion to those who have lost loved ones because of police shootings, some justified, some unjustified. Those that are unjustified must be punished. Those that are justified, we must apologize to. It's time to make America safe again. It's time to make America one again. One America! What happened? What happened to? There's no black America. There's no white America. There is just America! What happened to it? Where did it go? How was it flown away? I know we can change it because I did it by changing New York City from the crime capital of America to the safest large city in the United States. What I did for New York, Donald Trump will do for America. I have known Donald Trump for almost 30 years, and he has created and accomplished great things in my city and all over the world. But beyond that, this is a man with a big heart. Every time New York suffered a tragedy, Donald Trump was there to help. He's not going to like my telling you this, but he did it anonymously. When police officers were shot, when firefighters were hurt, when people were in trouble, he came forward and he helped and he asked not to be mentioned. Well, I am going to break my promise to him. I am going to mention it. This is a man with a big heart who loves people, all people, from the top to the bottom, from the middle to the side. I am telling you this because I am sick and tired of the defamation of Donald Trump by the media and by the Clinton campaign. I am sick and tired of it. This is a good man. And America should be sick and tired of their vicious, nasty campaign. You deserve to know this about your next president. He's been a great father, father-in-law, grandfather, and friend to me, my wife Judith, and my family for now almost 30 years. I know him personally, and this is a very good and decent man, and he will be a great president.
All right, so that is a taste of his speech, and it goes on for another 10 minutes, so we'll take a break here, and I'll give you another speech to cut your teeth on a little bit. The next one will be from Sheriff David A. Clark, Jr. He's a sheriff. He's also an African-American, and he gave a pretty good speech, so I think you'll like that one. 716 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 23-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text, and I'll come back and read your texts when we come back. All right, here is David Clark, black sheriff of Wisconsin County, and he's a very popular guy in the conservative movement because he's been very critical of the president for quite a while now, and he's, I would think, considers himself pretty conservative. Check this out.
Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark.
And I apologize. The way these clips are recorded, they're so loud, I can't even really turn them up. I hope they're loud enough for you, but it's kind of pegging off the chart on my my meters here.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to make something very clear. Blue lives matter in America. I stand before you tonight with a heavy heart as the law enforcement community prepares to bury three of Baton Rouge, Louisiana's finest. But there is some good news out of Baltimore, Maryland, as Lieutenant Brian Rice was acquitted on all charges. And the malicious prosecution of activist state's attorney Marilyn Mosby.
I just want to mention something just to put this in context. I mentioned this before. In Baltimore, there was Freddie Gray died in that van, and so the district attorney said publicly there was going to be justice for the people that killed him, and she took her state the trials to the court. And she's 0-for-4 right now. And they did an interview with another black attorney. And I'm trying to remember what his name was. He was very well spoken. And he said, it's not 0-for-4. She's 0-for-24 because if you add up all the charges that she failed on. And if you're thinking that it's because the juries are white or whatever, and they're sympathetic to the jailers, these are judge trials, and so they have the highest standard of information and rectitude in the decision-making. So this lady is in a lot of trouble, and there's people that want her not only kicked out of office, but locked up. Anyway, here's more of this speech. This is a very well-delivered speech by David Clark.
Now I want to talk to you about something important. Indeed, a concept that five law enforcement officers were murdered and nine more were wounded for earlier this month, and for which three more were murdered 2 days ago in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And that is the importance of making America safe again. You see, I believe that this noble mission is not just a requirement, but a prerequisite for achieving this campaign's goal of making America great again. We simply cannot be great if we do not feel safe in our homes, on our streets, and in our schools. I see this every day at street level, where many Americans increasingly have an uneasiness about the ability of their families to live safely in these troubling times. This transcends race, religion, ethnicity, gender, age, and lifestyle. And if you don't believe it, a recent Gallup poll confirms it. In more than half of all Americans now worry a great deal about crime and violence, up consistently and dramatically from just a few years ago. And for African Americans, that number is 70%. Sadly, for a growing number of communities, the sense of safety that many of us once took for granted has been shattered. Americans don't always feel safe, no matter if they are working in a big city, living in a suburb, or rural areas all around this great country. I often tell residents of Milwaukee and the city and towns that I visit that safety is a shared endeavor. It starts with the willing acceptance of people to play by society's rules. A code, if you will, where we collectively agree upon that ensures stability, fairness, and respect. It is built on a foundation of trust in each other and in the people who administer and enforce society's rules, which at its foundation is the rule of law. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote passionately about the interrelatedness of all communities and states and about our inescapable network of mutuality tying us in a single garment of destiny. He spoke of the basic morality of the rule of law, provided that it is applied equally to both the wealthy and the impoverished, both men and women, and yes, the majority and the minority. What we witnessed in Ferguson, in Baltimore, and Baton Rouge was a collapse of the social order. So many of the actions of the Occupy movement and Black Lives Matter transcends peaceful protest and violates the code of conduct we rely on. I call it anarchy. You see, American law enforcement officers understand that race is and has been a heated issue in our country. Most appreciate the vital need for thoroughness and transparency and pursuit of the greater good in their actions and in their investigations. These are truths that are self-evident to me and which I practice, and they are the truths that Donald Trump understands and supports. Donald Trump is the steadfast leader our nation needs. He has spoken passionately to me of his belief in our American system of justice, and he speaks to the values that are at the foundation of our social contract. Throughout his campaign and over the many years before, he has consistently and constantly raised his voice not only in defense of the character of the American police officer, but the need for all people to feel that they are being treated fairly and respectfully by law enforcement. You see, Donald Trump understands that what can make our nation safe again is a recommitment to a system of justice in which no government official, not even those who have fought their way to the marble and granite halls of Washington, no private citizen, no elected official, even Hillary Clinton, and no group of people, despite the fervor with which they press forward their grievances, can claim privilege above the law. It cannot happen in the United States. The tradition of the primacy of the rule of law in America is strong. It is in those simple facts and in our acts we will move forward toward making America safe again. God bless you, and may God continue to bless these United States of America.
Great speech. Fantastic speech, well delivered and well received. We'll take a break here. I'm going to try to drop in a few more clips from speakers that you know or that are kind of interesting so you get a feel for the rest of the convention. Now, I'm going to come back to a couple of other things I mentioned. I'm going to get into Iran. We have been had once again. It is so sickening. 7:30, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. And let me read a few of these texts here. Let's see here. That one's a little, hold on a second here. All right. I thought Melania was very good. She's dignified. Her work ethic and big dreams got her to where she is, and she's capable of speaking about matters of the attitude towards the least among us, our children. Indeed, the children of the world deserve love, care, and best education. Why don't we start a all right. So anyway, we'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180 to text. Okay, so here is a little bit of the lady who criticized the president for, actually Hillary, for her son dying, mother of Benghazi attack victim. And she blames Hillary Clinton for the death of my son.
My name is Patricia Smith. My son, Sean, was one of four brave Americans killed during the 2012 terrorist attack at Benghazi. Sean was a wonderful son and father to my two amazing grandchildren, Samantha and Nathan, now 10 and 11. He was proud to serve his country with the United States Foreign Service. The last time I talked to Sean, the night before the terrorist attack, he told me, "Mom, I am going to die." All security had been pulled from the embassy, he explained. And when he asked why, he never received a response. Nobody listened. Nobody seemed to care. The very next day, he was murdered by radical Islamic terrorists. To this day, I don't even know why a computer guy like Sean was sent to Benghazi. That night, we lost sons, brothers, fathers, and husbands. We lost four brave Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice for the country they chose to serve, and the American people lost the truth. For all of this loss, for all of this grief, for all of the cynicism the tragedy in Benghazi has brought upon America, I blame Hillary Clinton. I blame Hillary Clinton personally for the death of my son. That's personally. In an email to her daughter shortly after the attack, Hillary Clinton blamed it on terrorism. But when I saw Hillary Clinton, she sure is. She sure is. She lied to me and then called me a liar. When I saw Hillary Clinton at Sean's coffin ceremony just days later, she looked me squarely in the eye and told me a video was responsible. Since then, I have repeatedly asked Hillary Clinton to explain to me the real reason why my son is dead. I'm still waiting. Whenever I call the State Department, no one would speak to me because they say I am not a member of the immediate family. Sean is my son. Hillary Clinton is a woman, a mother, and a grandmother of two. I am a woman, a mother, and a grandmother of two. How could she do this to me? How could she do this to any American family? Donald Trump is everything Hillary Clinton is not. He is blunt, direct, and strong. He speaks his mind and his heart. And when it comes to the threat posed by radical Islamic terrorism, he will not hesitate to kill the terrorists who threaten American lives. He will make America stronger, not weaker. This entire campaign comes down to a single question. Hillary Clinton can't give us the truth. Why should we give her the presidency? That's right, Hillary for prison. She deserves to be in stripes.
Hard hitting, huh? All right, let's got some weather for you here, so let's get that going. You're listening to Kelly O'Connell and I am Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll have a little weather for you and then be back with a few more speeches. All right, here is Scott Bio, the guy from Happy Days and some other shows, giving his speech. Got to be brave to be a conservative in Hollywood.
And television director and actor from the sitcom Happy Days, Scott Bio.
Thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you so much. Tonight's theme is Making America Safe. So I want to thank all the brave men and women who served our country, including retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles, who just this morning received the Medal of Honor for his heroism in Vietnam. Absolutely. And I want to thank Mr. Trump for asking me to be here tonight. I can't tell you how much of an honor it is to stand up here and talk about a man that I trust with the lives of my family and the health of our country. America, the greatest country God ever created. Now, America is an easy place to get to. But for you first-time voters, it's important for you to know what it means to be an American. It doesn't mean getting free stuff. It means sacrificing, winning, losing, failing, succeeding, and sometimes doing the things you don't want to do, including the hard work, in order to get where you want to be. And that's what it means to be an American. But folks, our country right now is in a very bad spot. You can feel it, and you can see it everywhere. There's no stability. Nothing seems right. And all the things that we hold dear are being attacked every single day. We cannot go down this road anymore. We need to stop. We need Donald Trump to fix this. Is Donald Trump a messiah? No. He's just a man. A man who wants to give back to his country, America. The country that has given him everything. A country that has also given all of us so much. And now it's time to give back to her. We have a choice in November. We can go for Hillary Clinton, I agree, who wants to continue the same policies that are wrecking this country, policies that make us unsafe, a woman who somehow feels that she's entitled to the presidency, that she's somehow owed it, or we can go for Donald Trump. A man doing this from the goodness of his heart and genuinely wants to help. A man who knows how to get things done. A man who says what he means and means what he says. Hillary Clinton wants to be president for Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump wants to be president for all of us. So, of course, let's make America great again, but let's make America, America again. Thank you all so much. God bless. Go, Trump. Good night.
All right, very brave speech there. Put his career on the line, folks. All right, we'll take a little break and come back and finish this puppy up. I've got one more speech. I got a speech from a guy that was, his son was killed by illegal. You might find interesting. Or would you prefer to hear Duck, Mr. Duck Dynasty? Well, I'll decide on the break. 523-1450, 805-6180, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Hey, it's Kelly. Kelly.
I just wanted to put in a good word for the guy whose son was killed. I hear Duck Dynasty on programs all the
all
time,
right.
But this is probably
right.
The only time
all
I'll
right.
Get to hear from all this
right.
Guy.
All right, I hear you, man. Who is this?
Chuck.
Chuck, I'll put that speech on when we come back. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great day, man. Jamal, I got a call over the break, and the person said, Chuck said, let's hear from this guy. We hear Duck Dynasty quacking all the time. Let's hear from this father who lost his son. So here we go.
Thank you. Thank you to the RNC for the invitation to speak about my beloved son, Jamil Jazz Shaw II. Special thank you to my friend, the undisputed GOP nominee, and the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. On March the 2nd, 2008, my life changed in a twinkling of an eye. One minute, I'm hearing my son's voice. Be right home, old man. I'm right around the corner. Next minute, gunshots, and Jazz is dead. I saw the hole in his head and blood everywhere. It happened so fast, Jazz was still holding his phone. At the same moment, his mother was serving in our military overseas. The day we buried Jazz, LAPD came to my home to tell us they found the killer. For 2 weeks, local politicians supported us, and every black politician in LA did too. They even put up a permanent memorial. 2 weeks after that, everything changed. We learned the killer was an illegal alien gangbanger from Mexico. Released from jail with a deportation hold, 3 gun charges, and an assault and battery on a police officer. And the politicians disappeared. In 2012, we finally had our day in court. The DA proved Jazz was murdered because he was black. The coroner testified while Jazz was on his back.
Sorry about that. I had another program leap to life there, so let me go back a little bit on this. The sound quality in these clips is what, some clips are super loud. This one is super soft, so I had it turned up all the way. But here's this guy, Jamil Shaw Sr.
The coroner testified while Jazz was on his back, bleeding from a stomach wound. His hands were up, and a second bullet went through his hand and into his head. It was also proved that the killer's gang targeted black males. You think Obamacare and Black Lives Matter? No. And we all know Hillary is Obama's third term. Only Trump called me on the phone one day to see how I was doing. Only Trump will stand against terrorists and end illegal immigration. The wall, built the wall. Only Trump mentions Americans killed by illegals. Trump will put America first, not crooked Hillary. I'll say it again, like I said it before, Trump is sent from God. Support Trump, Pence. Let's come together and make America safe and great again. Thank you.
All right, so great speech there, and very, very touching. And, you know, there are – I was just reading – we got the story that the time scale for the nuclear program in Iran has been cut in half by a secret document that was submitted. That was breathtaking. There's another story online about Obama stopping testing of illegals or I guess it would be immigrants – he stopped testing them for HIV because of a demand by the gay movement X number of years ago. So now there are a number of people in this country, and it was the gay movement. It actually hurts gays. If you'll think about it, you bring these people into the country, some of which are gay, then they're HIV positive. We don't even know about it because they were not allowed to be tested. And then they're out in the gay community sleeping around, not knowing they're HIV positive, passing it on, killing gay people in this country. Just another bad policy. But there's so many things that this president has done that are just mind-blowing and so harmful to America. And yet he's got this protective aura around him from the media that's just so sad. Anyway, but that's the Republican GOP convention. We'll pick it up a little bit tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great day. Loved hanging out with you today. See you back in 22 hours, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Have a good one. It's going to be hot out there. Hopefully it'll rain. See you later. Ciao.